Los Angeles, November 19th, 1998. Having finally made the decision to share my experience with Parkinson's, I had one goal in mind: to give an honest account of how, over the last 7 years, I had integrated the disease into a rich and productive life. It was important for me to convey my optimism, gratitude, perspective, and even an ability to laugh about certain aspects of life with PD, being a firm believer in the joke writer's axiom that comedy equals tragedy plus time. This was not a tale of woe, as Tracy would remind Barbara Walters. I sought no pity or tears, nor was I eager to cast myself in the role of reluctant hero, breaking out of his silent suffering to take his fight public and serve as a poster boy for the Parkinson's cause. I was simply tired of hiding the truth from people and felt ready, finally, to present it to them on my own terms, with the hope that they'd respond to my story in the spirit with which it was offered. Ultimately, though, going public would be the truest test yet of the philosophy I'd been growing into over the course of the past 7 years in the wilderness. Take the action and let go of the results. That sounds good, and I could definitely talk the talk. But could I walk the walk? The people interview took place in the Los Angeles office of Nancy Ryder, my publicist. I'd come to L.A. to inform executives from DreamWorks and ABC of my decision. They'd given me their full and unflinching support. By the time the two-hour interview was over, reporter Todd Gold's notepad and audio cassettes were full, the tapes held my words, and his shorthand scribbling had captured my behavior, tics, tremors, and facial expressions. The realization began to sink in. Oh my God, what have I done? I hadn't shared my story, I'd given it away. It was no longer mine. What Todd knew, and I was just beginning to grasp, was that my own words would make up only a part of the article he was about to write. However sincere my upbeat and philosophical approach to the illness, in the press coverage, the subjective reality of my experience with Parkinson's would inevitably be juxtaposed with the objective reality of the disease, in all its destructive cruelty. The rules of good journalism demanded as much. Doctors, scientists, and in all likelihood other patients would present a grim picture of this crippler of nearly 1.5 million Americans, and in the process force me to take a fresh look at it myself. When Todd's article finally appeared in the pages of People magazine, I'd learned that even my own neurologist, Dr. Roper, who had spoken to the reporter with my permission, didn't sugarcoat my situation. "This is a very serious neurological disease," Roper says. "In extreme cases, patients live a bedbound existence where they require total care." I thought about my kids. Tracy and I had always been able to frame the disease for them. We were the sole explainers of its potential impact on their lives. Now they would also learn about Parkinson's through the reactions of their teachers, classmates, and countless others, well away from the security of our reassurance. The genie was out of the bottle, and not only had I no way of knowing how big it would get, there was no way to gauge its disposition. Would it turn on me in spite for having kept it captive for so long?